I like the Castle Lane, but I will not do that.
If I ever go under, look up.
Yes.
The trumpet is nice. Brother Scott Morris, the Gerald Ford Prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, thankful for your many blessings, thankful for the opportunity to open your word and look for the truths there in the Spirit, might guide and direct. We, Brother Mike, as he stands before us now, that you guide and direct his thoughts and give him clarity of thought and mind, and as students might be able to receive the word and be with everyone that has safe travel home later and good services in our respective houses tomorrow. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Yesterday I was driving in the car listening to my Christmas music on the radio, and a medical facility decided to have a commercial, and they broadcast and declared how many miracles was occurring at their medical facility, and what they needed was more money to have more miracles available. And just imagine how many miracles we could see with your support. And I'm driving, giggling, and laughing, going, not $1, not one dime, not 1 cent determines a miracle. In the time of miracles, you remember there was a guy who asked Peter, how much to have that ability? Peter said, let your money perish with you. Because it was never about healing the individual. It's about confirming the word. It was about healing the individual. Jesus had the power to heal everybody for all time, forever, of any ailment. And why stop with the blind men at the temple? Why not remove all blindness, all deafness, all frailties? If that's not the point. The point was to confirm the word that they had looked to Jesus. And by the way, are you joining classes? I hope you are, because what we have here is special. I don't know if you understand that. What we have here is the ability to come together and feast upon the Word of God. This doesn't happen in the world. This doesn't happen in religion. And to find it even among the Lord's churches is a very rare, distant thing. To be able to come together and have iron sharpening iron, and to get to the deep things of God. Now, we've been talking about the Godhead. But Daniel, I don't know why you have problems writing he's not here. It's a miracle he was taken. We'll be talking now of Enoch and Brother Daniel. So, talking about Godhead, what does Godhead mean?
Divine nature.
How many times is Godhead mentioned in the Bible? Three times. We looked at them last night. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Acts chapter 17, and verse 29. And Romans 1, verse 20. Each time is telling you that God is divine essence. It's talking about the unity of the Trinity. That there's more than just one. But they are one. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse number 30. I and my Father are one. We mentioned this last night, the word one there in that verse is neutral, not masculine. Masculine would have been personal. And it would have been, if it was personal, it would have meant Jesus was saying, I and the Father are the same person. First John.
It's been a long time since these were less one. But if you just challenge some young preacher, whatever, you'll go and look at the Greek. Even when those used those three times, they're not the same word.
Every single time,
yes.
It's a different word.
And so it gives you a different understanding of, or importance of what God's trying to convey.
Exactly.
But they do all come from the same root word.
Exactly right. Theo, which is God, Almighty. This is rich. I mean, only in three references, three uses, is this deep.
Well, their response accepted that. When they said, thou may become, being a man, makest thyself God. They knew about the Trinity. And Jesus saying, I and my Father are one, and they were going to kill him because, well, now you're making yourself God.
Yeah. Ah!
They knew that.
Yes. Yes, and they understood when he said one, that he wasn't saying that he and God were the same person.
Right.
They understood that Jesus was saying, you're making yourself of the same kind, the same essence, the same essence. That you have the divine essence.
Well, I mean, so the common sense of the way Jesus teaches and the way it's revealed, was he saying that my Father is me? I'm actually the Father. Oh, and I'm the Son, and I'm the Holy Spirit, and that kind of schizophrenic. I mean, he was clearly saying there's another person that I'm unified with.
But that statement is exactly what a lot of religions, so-called Christians, do.
But that's not.
With personalities. That God expresses himself as the personality of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. He's not personality.
So when Christ prays to the Father, the assumption he's praying to himself?
That is used as a point of proof that Christianity is a farce. Because if Jesus is recognized as the Christ, Christ is God, then when Jesus prayed in John 17, who did he pray to if he's God? If you know the Godhead, you have no question that he's praying to the Father. But if you make him a personality, he's got a split personality. Isn't that right?
That's right.
No, I'm sorry.
He's just talking to himself.
He's just talking to himself.
He needed good advice.
And who better to talk to? I've never disagreed with myself. Well, except on occasion. But then I, you know, take a pill and I get over it.
Well, you mentioned this before, but when Christ is baptized, so Christ is being baptized, you see the Spirit through the dove going up, and you hear the voice from the Father. You have all three of them right there. So you're saying, so people think that Jesus is doing all that for me.
That's excellent. Because at one, why is that so good? Because at one point in time, a singular moment in time, you have all three identified in three separate locations, all doing three separate things, but all of them working in harmony and unity. All three of them.
And happy.
And happy. That's just Rogers and Brother Sean. Brother Sean.
Well, if you make it personalities, I mean, just use your logic. If there are three personalities, then that would mean there are differences. Three different. I would say the personality is exactly the same. In three different persons. I think their personalities, their characteristics of what are all the same.
Exactly.
Three distinguished personality.
Now, if we had somebody, a mental health professional, that could talk to us about those that have split personalities and those that, they'd tell you, we see that some exhibit extroverted activity, some, you know, introverted behavior. That's not God. Three separate people. But that word there, I and the Father are one. He's saying we're the same essence. But we're in unison and harmony. Now, yes?
Would equal be an English word we could use for that? Like, we are equal?
Well, Paul to the church at Philippi seemed to have no problem with it. And since he was inspired by God to write it, I think we could go with it. Now, what was the occasion that caused Jesus to say, I and the Father are one?
So then I give them eternal life. No man can pluck it out of my hand.
Okay. Back up a little bit further. Look at verse number...
Thank you.
Just sit there just waiting to... just round it up to the right. Look at verse number 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. How come they didn't say, if thou be Jesus, tell us plainly? What's the big deal about the Christ? What's the big deal about the Messiah?
They believed that he was coming. They just rejected him as Jesus.
He's the Holy One in the Old Testament that was supposed to come and save them.
John 4, the woman at the well, the Messiah is coming.
Who's the Messiah?
Jesus.
What?
God.
God with us.
Isaiah 9:6.
Oh, who said that?
Brother Steve.
Brother Steve.
Old star.
Would you read that for us?
Yeah. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a man, a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Thank you. Gold star for Brother Steve. They knew the Christ was God, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Chosen, the Almighty God. So when Jesus is going about, and at what point in Jesus' life was it rumored that he was the Christ?
From the corner of earth. Why did Herod want to kill him?
Why did Herod want to kill him?
Yeah, why did all these people start to see angels saying, glory to God in the highest?
He's on earth. And they
heard the cry. And Simeon, Anna, the shepherds abiding in the field, they came and told everybody what was told them.
That looked for redemption.
That looked for redemption. And now you
even Elizabeth recognized after Mary showed up. The mother of my Lord.
Yes. And Mary recognized it, that he's my Savior. Which blows away, we talked about in Sunday school last week. The Catholics keep venerating Mary to the Mother of God and Immaculate, and to the point now there's a big discussion in the Catholic work of whether or not she experienced birthing pains because she had not sinned. Yeah. Sorry to shake you there, brother. But did Mary have any confusion about whether or not she was a sinner?
No.
Mary said, I know my Savior. And if you have a Savior, you have sin, because if you don't need a Savior. Just let the Word of God speak. So, we have the Jews in verse 24 saying, just tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And what did he say? Verse number 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. By the way, there's another great thought movement that says that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Never said he was the Son of God. That was a label forced upon him after his death.
Didn't think he was that.
Yeah. Now that works good to those that don't want to read the Word of God. but take them to the Word of God. It's not by intellect, it's not by force of reason or logic, it's by the Word of God that anything has any value. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Oh, really? Now we're touching on Brother Dale's class again on those miracles. He's not only talking about the miracles, but all the other works that he's doing. They're bearing witness of him, but you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. Say, what? What man can give eternal life?
God-man.
The God-man. Only the Christ. Only the Messiah.
Is that, I mean, obviously when you get saved, if you follow the Lord, you become a member of the Catholic Church, some of this stuff starts to equate, the Holy Spirit gives you understanding. But is that's the big block here, is that there was a prophecy that a baby would be born, a child. He's a man. And even, I'm looking over here at this chapter 11 and in verse 4, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He's almost talking third person. And it confuses people that God sent a man. God is man. But he's God. And that, without the Holy Spirit to guide in that truth, I mean, you can't figure that out. You can't understand that.
It causes men to trip all the time in a thousand different ways, including, surprisingly, religion. These Jews that were wrestling with him and ultimately will scream for him to be crucified can't reconcile in their minds the scriptures and the man.
Well, verse 31.
Yes, we'll get to that. Just a couple more verses. Brother Ronnie's right on top of it.
I mean, the point is that they ask, okay, you've got us so confused. We don't know what to believe right now. Tell us. So he did. And then what do? They have rejected him from the beginning, and they didn't want to know if he was the one. They don't want to be confronted with their sins and the responsibility that they have to trust in him. They rejected him.
Yes.
And so as soon as he tells them plainly what the first thing is, we've got to kill him.
That's excellent. Let me take a tangent just for a second. To this very day, and you can pull it up on YouTube videos, it's kind of interesting. They have individuals walking in Jerusalem with the Talmud, or the Holy Scriptures of the Jews, with Isaiah 53, saying, have you ever read this? No. Well, where's that? It's in Isaiah. Is that the Scriptures? Yes. Who do you think that's talking about? Well, it sounds like it's talking about Jesus. Really? Yeah. So why don't you accept him as your Lord? Because there is only one God. Exactly right. He's a Trinity. He said that from the beginning. I and the Father are one. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, our Lord is one Lord. One God in three persons.
God taught himself to Israel as a Trinity.
Yes.
Very clearly.
Very clearly.
Well, this whole conversation, when you read this passage, they understood the Trinity here in this passage.
Yes.
The hang-up is Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus the Christ? Is Jesus God? They have no problem with the Trinity.
Yeah.
It was rejecting Jesus as
Yeah.
Well, you go back to chapter 6 of John, and his own disciples were rejecting that Jesus was the Savior, because he literally tells them, as simple as it can be, I am the bread of life. I am the man come down from heaven. Eat of me, you shall have life. And then they said, it's a hard saying. Who could know this? His own disciples had a bit of a hang-up of, is this really the truth? Do I really want to accept this as who is supposed to be our Messiah, our Savior?
So we throw off on the Pharisees and the religious, but sometimes God's own disciples, you know, hang up on, is Jesus really God, or is he just kind of close? Because if Jesus is really God, then we have to listen to everything he said. Everything he said had the exact same authority as it was from God the Father. But
he's getting divine inspiration, so I guess.
We like to throw off on the religious a lot, but I like throwing off on Catholics as much as anybody else. But you go look, sometimes God's own people have a really hard time in believing that Jesus is fully God, because then everything that he said we have to do, we have to follow it. But it's either all or nothing. He's either God or he's not.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Now look back here to take all those observations, put them back in here into verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, Brother Ronnie comes in with verse 31. How did they react? Just tell us plainly, are you the Christ? I told you, you didn't believe me. I give eternal life. No man's able to pluck him out of my hand. No man's able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. My Father and I are one. Not the same person, but the same essence, the same divinity, the same Trinity. They should have went, amen, hallelujah, where do I sign up? But how did they respond? Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. How does Jesus respond to that? Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?
Because
of Acts 2. Because of Acts
2:4. You saw the goodness of God.
Yep.
And it leads them to repentance and they reject
it. Romans 2:4, yeah. Yes. The Jews, verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Do you know there's a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus? About the Christ, from being born of a virgin in a particular location, to being King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and everything in between. And it is really, really important that we don't fall in the trap that they did and grab one set of prophecies and hold on to that so hard that nothing else is acknowledged. They held on to, and what the Jews are basically looking for is the Messiah as he returns the second time, as Lord of Lords, King of Kings on a great white horse to establish his kingdom. Even the disciples fought that even after the resurrection. Now is it time? Is it now? They're hyper-focused on there's one God. At what point, I'll get you in a second, Brother Trevor, at what point does God introduce the idea of the Trinity? How far into the Bible do we get before the Trinity is introduced?
Four words.
Four words. In the beginning, God. What's that word God there?
Elohim.
Which means three strong self-existing ones. Three. Now, how do you get there? Because Elohim is El, God,
team is plural. And in Hebrew, plural is singular, duo, meaning two, plural, three or more. Elohim. Now by the time you get to chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, the Lord God, which is Jehovah Elohim, which is really Jesus God. And then you get over to Colossians chapter 1, who did all the creating? And then you go running back into Genesis, and you say, well, then there it is. Been sitting there the whole time. You know, God will reveal himself to you as you seek him out. But don't go Googling and doing all this other stuff, because you're going to get man's stuff. Take the Word of God. Dig into the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Brother Trevor, then Brother...
Your answer.
Wow. I'm almost done.
in that Genesis 1, is it 126 or 27, so is it too trivial to let us?
Oh, is that...
An hour?
That is excellent. Yeah. There's often used, as you see, there's errors in the Bible. Yeah. Grammatical errors to start out with. Let us make man in our image. Well, he's using plural pronouns. No, he's not. He's using the exact grammar. He's Elohim. He's having a discussion with who? Himself? I think we should. No, we shouldn't. I think we should. Okay, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Can you imagine what sort of a critter would he, a schizophrenic God would create?
A plasma.
For those that didn't hear, Brother Travis Gergelow, pastor, I want the internet to get this anonymous. He said platypus. Okay, now watch this. Jesus answered, the Jews answered, verse 33, saying, for a good work we stonely not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? He's dragging. You guys want to use the Bible against me? You want to say that I'm blaspheming because I say I'm God? Let me drag you to the deep end of the water here and see if you can explain this one. You're saying you want to stone me because I say I'm God. Because that's what the blasphemy is about. Okay, watch this. See if you can explain this. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, wait a minute. Jesus kind of slips there. Who wrote the Old Testament?
He's the Word.
He's the Word. Is it not Jesus said to them, is it not written in your law? I said, you're gods. And as he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified, and said unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? By the way, right there he explicitly declares, he said he was the Son of God. Explicit statement. Now he confines him and binds him up in a knot by saying, you want to throw stones at me because I said I'm the Son of God. But yet the Word of God that you accept and acknowledge, and it can't be broken, called you gods. So how do you explain that? Where's the blasphemy? Oh, by the way, the Mormons love to use that verse to say, you see, we're going to be gods. Before the steam comes out of your ears, yes, you're going to be gods. In this respect, understand what that word means, look it up. It means magistrate and judge. Gee, is the church going to judge? What does 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tell you? We're going to judge angels. Who does that? God. As that word is used and defined in Greek and Hebrew. Thus a magistrate and a judge and also a deity. Context, context, context. You know my favorite word is cleave, because it has two identically different definitions. It means either to adhere closely to, or it means to completely divide asunder. So when you're offering a dove, you're supposed to cleave it in the midst. Divide it apart. Separate it. And then the husband's told to cleave onto his wife. You're a brave man when your wife's out of the room.
Get it wrong, you're going to jail.
Yeah, get it wrong, you're going to jail. So, do you take a cleaver to her? That's where the word cleaver comes in at. That big wedge of metal that you use to separate things.
Cleave her.
What's that?
Cleave her.
Cleave her.
This is your class, I'm just checking.
No, I think we're getting into a Freudian therapy session. we're reeling more than we want to. So he tells them, you want to play word games? I said, you're gods. Now, if you're gods, why are you stirring me? Because I said, I'm a god. But Jesus didn't say, I'm a god. He said, I am the God. We're not done yet. Verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. By the way, sent into the world. Religion has Jesus becoming the Christ, living a dedicated, sanctified life and becoming the Messiah. At what point was Jesus the Messiah? Always been.
Slain for the foundation of the world.
Slain for the foundation of the world. Sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe. Watch this, that the Father is in me and I in him. Back to Trinity. He didn't simply say, the Father is with me. He said, the Father is in me, and I am in him. That unison, that one God in three persons, is expressed there. I am in the Father is in me. I am in the Father is in me. Look at chapter 14 here of John. Look at verse 8. Touched on this, I think, last night. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Why is that so hard for us to understand? Have you ever done something and you realize it wasn't you doing it, it was the grace of God working in your life?
Amen.
Anytime I've ever witnessed anybody have any good occur, I stand there and wonder, because I don't have the ability to touch somebody's heart. I don't have that ability. I'm a trained, experienced, professional attorney. Words are my tools and trade. I can make your life miserable. I can alter your future. I can make you do things you don't want to do. I can take things away from you you want to keep. But I can't change your mind, and I can't touch your heart. But I've stood there and watched hearts get touched and minds get changed. And it's not me. So why is it so hard to understand that when Jesus is saying, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, what happens when we get saved? The Holy Spirit indwells the believer. Now we're all schizophrenic. Because we start talking about the old man and the new man. And then if you really want to get confused, you read over Romans chapter 7, right? Yeah. That which I would do, I do not. That which I would do, I do not. Oh, wretched man, who should deliver me from such a death? Because I'm all confused. Only when you yield to the flesh do you get that confusion. Only, by the way, we are spiritual beings living in a physical world. Let me say that again. We are spiritual beings living in a physical world. But too oftentimes we think that we are physical beings that have spiritual encounters. We act and live too many times that we're physical beings having spiritual encounters. Well, if I don't go to church tomorrow, I may not have another spiritual encounter for a week. We live like that. That's not the truth. We're spiritual beings 24 hours a day. We live, breathe, and move in a spiritual realm, in a physical existence. In a physical existence. Look at verse number 11 here. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very word's sake. There we have. That's the Godhead. So, three verses establishing the Trinity. With that, let's stand, ask a blessing on the refreshment. Have a very happy and merry Christmas. Brother Reagan, since you got your lungs all clear, would you say a blessing for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and long-suffering toward us, and sending the Holy Spirit, Lord, especially as comforter to help teach us as New Testament church members, Lord, more about you, and just help us to continue to want to pursue and study and learn more about you, Lord, so we can share the great things that you've done for us, sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, and eternal life that and the rewards that you would have and made available to everyone if they come your way, Lord. Speed the refreshments and the upcoming traveling. We're soon all headed away from here, Lord. We have safe travels, and that we'd be prepared to enter in your house tomorrow, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.